briefly, we will be celebrating 53 years of our independence. And this marks quite an important milestone in our history. It is important because Ghana is now at the crossroads of building a society that is democratic and in which each and every member, individual member of the society, is encouraged to play a role. As we celebrate this occasion, which is tomorrow, we are encouraged by the support that we have received from many friendly countries, including the United States of America, where I represent the interests of the government and the people of Ghana. It's important because for the relationship between the U.S. and Ghana, we have enjoyed a tremendous partnership, a partnership that has enabled us to grow our economy, to expand our education, our health facilities, our infrastructure. And I'm saying this in all sincerity, that for over 50 years since the 6th of March 1957, it is true that even though global economies continue to converge, one cannot underestimate the importance of bilateral relations between 82 countries. These kinds of relationships have become even more important, more crucial. And what is even more important is that based on this friendship, and let me recall here, the visit of President Obama did greatly enhance this friendship. As we celebrate these years, we are also emboldened to look into the next several years, into the future, with the experience, all the experience we have gained. We can look into the future with optimism and faith. And of course, the people of Ghana and our government are extremely grateful for the hand of friendship that the U.S. and the support that the people of the United States have extended to the Ghana government and the people of Ghana. On our part, we are ready to fulfill the role that is expected of us in any partnership. This partnership has been based on our shared commitment to strengthening our democracy, promoting good governance, and sustained economic growth. Of course, we live in a global world. While pursuing these objectives, it is also important that we share the aspirations of countries like the United States and other members of the United Nations in promoting a world that is free from wars. We are determined to join hands with our partners to eliminate the sources of global violence and any threats to peace and security. These are, of course, prerequisites for any country's social and economic progress. So, in sum, celebrating 53 years of independence as the first African country south of the Sahara to achieve our independence, it marks for us a period that we have to sit back and reflect on those achievements that we have made, but at the same time, take a long, hard look at all the challenges that we face as a nation.
In relation to Ghana's independence, how did that impact the average or ordinary Ghanaian and the African as a whole?
Well, first of all, for the average Ghanaian, it is clear that, you know, Mr. Clotty, before we became independent, the majority of our people had no access to education. We had no access to electricity, water, good drinking water, good roads. Generally, the quality of life was quite unacceptable. Independence brought us the hope to develop our communities, to ensure that we had good access to roads, health facilities, education, and all that. For the African in general, I think it is acknowledged that, and as Kwame Nkrumah put it, he considered our independence to be without meaning until the rest of Africa had been liberated. And so it is quite significant that soon after we gained independence, a number of African countries were spurred on to fight for their independence, and they gained it. So our independence signifies a period of time when Africans felt that the time was ripe to take their own destiny into their own hands. So this was a significant achievement, a significant development for the rest of Africa. And for going beyond Africa, for the Africans in the diaspora, so-called diaspora, I think it also gave them a hope that after all, yes, the African is capable of governing himself, because a lot of us were becoming rather pessimistic, living under the yoke of the colonial administrations, about the future. It gave us hope. Whether you are in Ghana, in Africa, or in the diaspora, as an African, you develop a sense not only of belonging to Africa and the African people, but a sense of hope that the future is bright for you and your family.
Ambassador Ajikum, in your estimation, has Ghana lived up to its expectation by the founding fathers who thought that Ghana's independence was meaningless unless it is totally linked to the liberation of the African continent? Has Ghana led by example, especially with the embrace of democratic tenets?
Yeah, first of all, let me put that question in a historical context. Certainly, as you would know, and I did make mention of this earlier, when we became independent, it spurred on other African leaders to seek their own country's independence. And I remember, as a young man, a number of African leaders trooped, you know, so to speak, to Ghana to learn from our experience. And Nkrumah's government did provide both material and human support for their own efforts. I mean, in South Africa, in other places. You ask whether we have lived up to the expectations of the founding fathers. In terms of stimulating, spurring on other leaders to seek to liberate their country, their peoples, I think this was quite an evident factor. That the fact that we have succeeded in achieving the objectives that the founding father or fathers had for Africa. Now, coming back to Ghana itself, I must say that, of course, we inherited a great deal of challenges, some of which have been met, others not met. But as we speak today, I can say without equivocation that we have continued to provide leadership in Africa, certainly within the ECOWAS community, in terms of ensuring that we lead our countries through the established democracy which has grown and matured in Ghana over the last couple of decades. But let me also say that having achieved this feat, a very peaceful, stable democracy, we also recognize that our democratic and governing institutions obviously need to be further strengthened for several reasons. One, to be able to better serve the people, and at the same time, to ensure that it can be sustained. We can only, you know, continue to enjoy this democracy only when the institutions of democracy, the press, the judiciary, are strengthened, just as it happens in other democracies. Without strong institutions, parliament, the press, the judiciary, democracy stands at risk. It becomes weaker. But once you have these strong institutions in place, these guarantee that democracy stays and can be sustained.
Specifically, what policies is your government putting in place to address the day-to-day challenges that the average Ghanaian faces ahead of the celebration of Ghana's independence?
Well, it's a tall story, but let me try to be brief. The major challenges facing the Ghanaian people, and indeed the government and the people of Ghana, are several, basically, we are faced with a huge challenge in terms of our capacity and our ability to feed our people. People talk about poverty eradication. This is very true. A large percentage of our people live in poverty. And therefore, one of the major policies that the government is pursuing is to ensure, through partnership with other governments, that we are able to reduce this level of poverty, not to talk about its complete eradication. Now, we are doing this even in an environment of a very serious global economic downturn, as you know. So poverty reduction or eradication is one area that the government has been addressing. We're doing this through various interventions. We have taken the agricultural sector as a major factor in reducing the levels of poverty, because we recognize that in Ghana, agriculture plays an overwhelming role in the economic life of the people. The majority, I think, is between 75% and 82%. I'm not too sure about the figures of the Ghanaian economy is agricultural. Even if we are to establish industries and manufacturing industries, we believe that the basis should be agriculture. So that is the first issue that we address, increasing or empowering the people to grow food to feed themselves and possibly to export. We have the land to do this, to grow all types of tropical food, maize, wheat, sorghum. Of course, we also grow cocoa and all that for export, cotton and all that. But we've got to feed ourselves first. Now, the second challenge that we face is, of course, education. I can mention them. We face the challenge of education. We have had several interventions over the years. For the last 2 or 3 decades, emphasis has been placed on ensuring that every child has access to quality education in Ghana. And that is where the government initiated a program for ensuring that every child goes to school, the universal basic education intervention, free education at the basic level, universally. So education also is an area that the government has been addressing policies and taking initiatives that would enhance the quality of education in Ghana. At the primary level, at the secondary school level, at the tertiary university level, technical levels, institutions are being strengthened in order to be able to absorb as many of our children of school-going age as possible. The other area that interventions have been made is, of course, in the area of health. Naturally, you need to be healthy. You need a strong, healthy people to be able to move any policies forward. And therefore, the provision of health facilities throughout the country is also an important initiative. We have, as a nation, established several new hospitals throughout the country. Certainly at the regional levels, we have established a hospital in Cape Coast and Ho, and we continue to pursue this policy. At the same time, we have not neglected the importance of primary health care, and therefore, throughout the communities, there's a program that ensures that the people in the communities have access to primary health care. So these are some of the areas I can mention where measures and policies have been designed, have been adopted in order to address those challenges that we face.
Would you say that the Ghanaian is better off than 53 years ago after independence?
Yes. I think I will be justified, and Ghanaians will be justified in claiming that the majority of Ghanaians are better off today than they were 52 years ago. I mean, naturally, if you look at the time we gained independence in 1957, how many schools did we have in Ghana? How many secondary schools? You could count them on your fingertips. Today, we have many secondary schools, not only at the regional level, in almost all the major cities of Ghana. We now have several universities, both public and private universities. We now have many technical schools. Agriculture has improved. Health facilities have expanded. Infrastructure development has continued, and therefore many farmers, many businessmen have easier access to various activities, whether it's agriculture or industry or that sort of thing. In 1964, I believe, 62-64, we established the Akosombo Dam. I mean, this has provided a fillip to major development activities in Ghana. Today, almost the entire country is connected. Almost the entire country is connected to the grid. Now, so fortunately, and if I may just jump a little bit ahead, fortunately, by the providence of God, we have found oil. And I believe that if we manage the oil resources efficiently, transparently, the opportunities for further growth and development are many. We have not only discovered oil, but I believe that we have also discovered significant quantities of gas. So this opens up a range of opportunities for both Ghanaian and foreign investors. And indeed, one of my major challenges, one of my major tasks while serving as the ambassador in the United States is to seek to promote direct foreign investments through partnership with Ghanaian businessmen into Ghana. So in short, let me say that we stand at a point in time with the discovery of oil and gas that Ghana can make a real progress, that we can hope, or we can have hope looking to the future, that our way of life, the quality of life that we enjoy today, will be much more improved in the years ahead of us. I believe strongly that Ghanaians will begin to have higher incomes and enjoy higher standard of living once we are able to manage our resources prudently. And let me say this, when I speak to people, investors, businessmen, there's always the nagging feeling that, well, you may have oil, but looking around, we have to be careful that the oil does not become a curse, as people say. Let us hope that we can all help in managing the resources so that it becomes a blessing. And I am pleased to say this, that the president has set up a separate body, separate from ministries, separate from all other existing institutions to manage the resources from our oil and gas finds. I believe that this is a decision in the right direction, a decision that would ensure that the resources would be applied equitably and that the communities in the areas where the oil has been found, as well as all communities in Ghana, will begin to enjoy the benefit of the oil that we have discovered.
What are some of the activities lined up ahead of the celebration here in Washington, D.C., as well as back home in Ghana?
Well, the normal activities back home would be there's a huge parade of school children who will be marching. This will be held at the Black Star Square. At the various regions, regional authorities would also be celebrating the occasion in a similar fashion. Here in Washington, I have had contact with a number of the Ghanaian associations. All of them have invited to join us tomorrow to celebrate the occasion. Some of them have, on their own, as they've done in the past, arranged to celebrate the occasion in their own fashion, having dinner and dances, bringing together all the Ghanaians in their various communities. The mission will, of course, find time to join some of them in celebrating the occasion. So I understand that the practice here has been for the mission to officially celebrate the occasion at the mission, and then for the mission to join the staff, to join the Ghanaian communities in other parts of the United States. So this is how I believe that the occasion will be celebrated.
Now, Ambassador Ajekum, last but not the least, your message to Ghanaians living here in the United States and back home as the nation celebrates its independence anniversary.
Well, my main message would be If my brothers and sisters are listening, Ghana has now many opportunities in which our Ghanaian brothers and sisters here could and should, in partnership with both African Americans and American businessmen, should in partnership with them seek to send or take investments back to Ghana. And as I indicated, there are many opportunities, especially in the oil and gas industry. But there are other areas where investors are very much welcome. And I would urge Ghanaians, this is the time to seek to go back home and invest. The investments will be secure, they will be protected, because Ghana belongs to a number of multilateral organizations and institutions which seek to protect and safeguard the interest of investors in Ghana. So while we are celebrating this occasion, let us remember that we are always Ghanaians first, and that the interests of Ghana should remain paramount in our thinking, in our thoughts. We should pray for the people of Ghana, for the government and the people of Ghana. We should pray for continued stability, for continued health, and continued prosperity.